This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Does Mr. Trump know what he doesn't know?
Well, I think he does. I think his instincts are really correct. He believes in peace through strength. Mm-hmm. He believes in identifying threats that are threats to us. What does it do to America? And we respond aggressively to protect America. But at the same time, we recognize their limits. And we need to have more support from our allies. I mean, they can't just ride us forever. We've got a serious financial challenge in America. We need more support from our allies. All of that, I think, is sound. He's gaining support from the best minds on some of these issues.
Senator Jeff Sessions talking about Donald Trump and his instincts on foreign policy. You know, Scott, people have wondered, can Donald Trump formulate some sort of foreign policy? But, you know, people have been impressed with some of the things he's come up with. And, you know, he's a typical leader. And I like where he's defaulting from, that he's looking out for us. You know, as we discussed with other experts here previously, you know, you've got really, you know, two philosophies here. You got a nationalist philosophy and you have a globalist philosophy. That's really what people need to get their brain around, because whether or not, I mean, when you talk about Hillary and Donald Trump, that's the divide there. It's, you know, Donald Trump is for America. He wants to make America great again. This is his focus. And in order to make America great again, there are some things that have to take place, like boundaries. And you hear a guy like John Kerry, and I got to tell you why that didn't hit a headline and why people didn't respond to this. I go, whoa, I mean, this is like, this is like Barack Obama all over again, telling everybody that he was going to redistribute. He's a redistributor. He felt like, based on his judgment, his sole judgment, he was going to even out the playing field, because he felt like people had their unfair share. And so as president of the United States, he was going to level the playing field. This is based on him, okay? And this is exactly what has happened. And so now John Kerry comes out and says, hey, look, America doesn't need borders. We don't need boundaries. Well, that's a nationalistic, that's not national, that's a globalist perspective. And there are many people within our government that believe in what John Kerry said. And he kind of just threw it out there to see how people would respond to it. And everybody's got their head in the sand on this deal. I mean, if you don't understand and see, you know, what is happening with this country and how this is being moved in an area, I mean, this is why the UN is getting more and more of its tentacles involved in our government. Some of these things that are happening, you know, this goofy stuff of trying to force fit, you know, a nuclear Iran into the greater world complex, because we're all going to be globalists and we got to think of what's, you know, great for everybody. But, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to throw all that aside. And meanwhile, you know, here we are in America, we're losing jobs. Our foreign policy is compromised. Our own security is compromised. And it's kind of okay. You know, it's kind of okay for these elites and this ruling class right now, you know, Barack Obama, the Democrats, most of them feel this way. And there's Republicans that feel this way too, Scott, you know? Scary.
Well, is it so bad to have a leader that only wants what's best for the people he leads? I mean, because we haven't tried that in a while. Maybe we should give it a whirl. Right?
Well, as long as they have a true understanding of what is in the best interest of the people. You know, Barack Obama, I believe he really believed, based on the theory, not facts. I mean, forget about facts. Forget about any kind of empirical evidence. It was his theory that if he redistributed the wealth, that he evened out the playing field, that he could make a big difference, and America would be perceived so well in the eyes of the international community. Like, you know, that's our reason du jour. You know, like that's the... the why we exist. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, but we've paid a big price for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure you want to continue to pay that price. Let me know.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We're back with the America just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to be in the running for that DVD Risen, DVD Blu-ray, all you got to do is send me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. We gave away a couple last week. We're going to give away a bunch more this week. All you got to do, just say, hey, Martinez, put me in the running for it. Hey, we'll be happy to put you in the hoppa, as they say. And you could win the DVD, which is going to be released on May 24th, but you get it before then through us. So congratulations and good luck to you. Randy Barnett is with us, back with us, I should say. He's the author of 11 books, including Restoring the Lost Constitution and the Structure of Liberty. He's a Carmack Waterhouse Professor of Legal Theory at the Georgetown University Law Center, where he teaches constitutional law and contracts as director of the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. Randy, good to have you back with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you particularly. I mean, there's so much stuff that we can go on, especially when it comes with constitutional law and things that are happening with Obamacare. But this judge's ruling in favor of the GOP Congress striking down Obamacare payments. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
Right. Well, this is actually an example of where the judge is upholding and enforcing Obamacare against what the president did to try to change it to something he liked better. The Obamacare is a very complicated statute, but this is actually not all that complicated. There are two things that Obamacare does. One is it pays credits to consumers to help them pay for their insurance, and the other is it pays subsidies to insurance companies so that they will keep they will lower the price of the insurance that is charged to consumers. Well, the first of those in the original Obamacare bill was funded by an automatic appropriation from Congress. So all the credits that go to consumers were funded in the statute. But the second, the payments to insurers, that was not funded in the statute. It said that, those would happen, but they would have to be appropriated by Congress every year. And then the president asked for the appropriations, and Congress didn't give it to him. So Congress refused to appropriate the subsidies for the insurance companies. And so what the president did is he took the other money that wasn't supposed to go to that, and he said, I'm going to put it to the insurance companies. And that's what the judge said he couldn't do. He said it was illegal. She said it was illegal for him to take the money that was not appropriated for that purpose and use it for a purpose that Congress had not said it could be used for.
Well, Randy, he's been pretty liberal in his thinking about Obamacare because of the way it's been written and what he's been able to do with it. I mean, it's kind of like one of those living pieces of legislation that continues to grow in his hands, girded by his pen and his cell phone.
Absolutely. And the reason why this case was a big deal is that the way Congress controls the executive branch by so-called power of the purse is by not funding things. Mm-hmm. So they don't fund something, and then the executive has to come and maybe, you know, do what the Congress wants in return for Congress's money. Here, what the administration said was the president could take the money and use it how he wished, and if Congress wanted, the only way Congress could enforce its power of the purse is by just prohibiting him from doing that. Well, if you're going to prohibit him, that means each branch of Congress has to pass a law prohibiting him. Then he can veto that law. Then they have to do it with a supermajority override, and that's the only way they could exercise their power of the purse under the administration theory. Well, this federal judge said no way and said no. If the Congress doesn't fund it, that's all that's necessary. The president can't do it on his own until he says stop me. So this was a very important reinforcement of Congress's power of the purse over the president.
Well, Randy, is this like the first time Congress has exercised the power of the purse? I know they've threatened several times and shutting down the government. Everybody gets all wiggy about it. And, oh, you know, those doggone conservative Republicans and whatever. But, I mean, it seems like this is the first time they actually did this. And it's almost... It's almost interesting the way this was done, because it wasn't. It doesn't seem like it was all that overt, does it?
Right. I mean, I think Congress has been doing quite a bit quietly to resist. This is one of the pressure points it had. It said that, well, we're not going to allocate these funds, and, you know, you can't make us. And so these are sort of things that have been happening quietly. But then when the president goes around Congress by saying, well, I'm going to do it anyway, that's the reason why you won't read about it, is because at this point the insurance companies are getting their subsidies and there's nothing to write home about. It's only if they're denied the subsidies would that make news.
Mm-hmm. Well, so where is he getting the money to continue on with something the court says is illegal for him to do?
Well, other funds are being collected. They're being paid for out of the general treasury, from revenues that are coming into the treasury, like, for example, the revenues that are going out to pay for the consumer credits, the subsidies that go to consumers. Those were appropriated in the bill. So he's using money for that, and he's using the similar money for the other thing that was not appropriated in the bill. But this is what this. Getting back to my book, Our Republican Constitution, this is an example of what's called the separation of powers that I have a chapter of my book talking about, and why and how the president has tried as much as he can, and this actually, you know, even begins under President Bush, to extend the power of the presidency so that he is not governed by, he is not merely executing the law that's passed by Congress, but he's in fact making up his own law and then saying to Congress and the courts, okay, stop me.
And the court said, okay.
Well, this time they stopped.
Yeah, yeah. So now, but is this a case of misappropriation of funds on his part when he's taking money that earmarked for something else, and now so now he's doubling down on his error?
Right. I mean, that's what the court held. Now, this is only a district court opinion. The court issued an injunction and then stayed the injunction, so it's not going to go into effect until it's been heard on appeal. And so now this is teed up for the Court of Appeals, and we'll see if the Court of Appeals will reinforce Congress's power of the purse the way the district court judge did. We can't take any of that for granted, of course.
Right. Well, we know what happened the last time. It went to the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts kind of rolled over and, you know, kind of interpreted it for, you know, for the government, and came up with, you know, the ruling that he did. Otherwise, at that point, Obamacare would have, you know, would have imploded on itself. Right.
Right. That is why I wrote my book. Because, in fact, the book starts with talking about my role in the Obamacare challenge and how it was that we could win on the law. We had five votes that said that what Congress was trying to do with the individual insurance mandate was beyond its powers. And then Chief Justice Roberts said, but I can construe this law as not a requirement, not an insurance mandate, which is all of us thought it was. And he said it was the most natural reading. But I call it an option to buy insurance or pay a small tax. And if I do it that way, I can uphold the law. So you're right. He had to change the law so he could uphold it. And I wrote a book to explain why he wanted to do that and why Republican presidential nominees to the Supreme Court have a tendency to do this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You say that that the Republican nominees have a bent towards this. That's interesting. Why would that be the case?
That's because there are two visions of the Constitution. And whether we have a democracy or whether we have a republic, if you view we the people as a group, then and we the people must rule, then you believe in a democratic constitution in which the voice of we the people should be put into effect by the government, and judges would get in the way, and so judges should defer to the majority as represented by legislatures. But if you view we the people as individuals, and then it's to secure these rights that governments are instituted, to secure the individual rights to life, liberty, and property that governments are instituted among men to achieve, to protect,
right.
Then that's a Republican constitution in which there's constraints on government, and judges should be upholding those constraints. Well, Republican presidents have been nominating people who believe in this judicial restraint idea of the Democratic Constitution, and sometimes, like Chief Justice Roberts, that means upholding Obamacare even when it's unconstitutional.
Exactly. Randy Barnett is with us. We got more from Randy on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. He's the author of 11 books, including Restoring the Lost Constitution and the Structure of Liberty. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Misenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuvena because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuvena Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple 2 steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Bill Martinez, live.
Play tambourine with a silver jingle. and we will sail away.
Welcome back, America. 19 minutes, just about. Randy Barnett is with us. We're talking about his new book, Our Republican Constitution, Securing the Liberty and Sovereignty of We the People. As Randy was explaining, in our Republican Constitution, the nation's leading libertarian legal scholar tells the riveting story of the long struggle between two fundamentally opposing constitutional traditions and explains how beneath every passionate debate between conservatives and liberals, whether it's gun control, health care, immigration, and so on, lies a deep fundamental disagreement about our founding document. Randy, you know, we touched on this a little bit, but I want to, you know, unfold this a little bit more so people understand, you know, the clash of these two philosophies as they operate with people that, you know, or, you know, like for me, I consider myself to be a constitutionalist. I believe in the original language of, you know, of the Constitution.
Well, and so do I, and in my last book I explained why that was exactly the right approach to take. And then the problem is that even if you believe in the language of the Constitution, if you have a certain view of judges as their appropriate role is to defer to the majoritarian branches, the democratic branches, even getting the language right isn't going to be enough. As I say, in Obamacare we got the language right, and yet we still lost. So that's why I wrote this book, in order to explain that if you have a very democratic reading of the Constitution, where the will of the people is supposed to be put into law, then judges have a very problematic role to play because they're getting in the way of the will of the people. But if you have a Republican view of the Constitution, which is that it's there to secure the rights and liberties of the people as well as to limit the scope and size of government, then judges have a very important role to play to make sure that Congress and the President are playing within the rules. We already talked about President Obama not staying within the rules of executive power. Then we talked about Congress not staying within the rules, where it's up to the courts to enforce those rules. And last week, one federal judge did just that.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as, you know, this judge, this federal judge making this, I mean, it was a big surprise for Barack Obama and his administration. I mean, you could tell, I mean, they were none too happy about it and felt like, wait a minute, what's going on here, you know?
Right. Well, now the way the rules are, they have to go back to Congress and get the appropriation for the money that will be sent to the insurance companies. And really, the pressure will be on Congress to do that, because otherwise these insurance companies might leave the markets, and that'll put pressure on Congress to make the law. But Congress might to make the appropriation, but Congress might in return require that maybe changes be made in Obamacare. That's how this give and take goes in a divided government, which is what we have.
Well, there's not been a lot of give and take as far as the Republicans are concerned. I mean, it's been more, you know, more take, you know, from the president's side than give. I don't know that the Republicans have gotten anything whatsoever out of Obamacare, have they?
Well, I mean, this is a good example of where the president did an end run around statute itself. But, you know, if you listen to the Democrats, they all complain that the Republicans have not fixed Obamacare the way it needs to be fixed. And the reason why Obamacare is failing in state after state is because Republicans haven't fixed it. So by not doing anything, they have allowed Obamacare to unwind the way it was originally written, and that's not working out so well. And it does leave open the possibility now, because it still remains such an unpopular law, that it can be fundamentally reformed with a new administration and a new Congress. It can be fundamentally reformed. Unlike other entitlements that seem to be there for life, this is one that is so unpopular that I think it could still be repealed and replaced.
It is. It's quite a bucket of gum at the end of the day, because you've turned over this health care system and have brought this in exchange for what we had before, and all under the guise that supposedly there were 30 million people uncovered. And I keep asking Randy the question of how many of those 30 million are we covering today versus you know, when this all began, and there's no number. You can't come up with a number.
Yeah, I've heard various numbers, and I don't, you know, it's hard to believe, hard to credit. You know, numbers are easy to make up and really hard to verify, so I really don't know. I do, you know, you do, of course, hear about all the people who've had their insurance, either they've either lost their previous insurance policies, or they are extremely expensive now with very high deductibles. They have worse insurance policies than they used to have. That's a pretty undeniable reality of,
exactly,
how this law has worked out in practice.
Well, Randy, when you look at saving our republic from the political ugliness that's dividing us, I mean, is it all fundamentally about our worldview of the Constitution? Is that what you see it as?
Well, actually, I have a whole chapter on federalism in the book. And here's the point I try to make, and it's not something people notice, and that is that by putting every major social and economic issue up to the federal level, you create a terrible situation where it's winner take all, and you either win or you lose and have to live under the winner's rules. So because it raises the stakes on every economic and social issue, everybody is fighting to the death at the national level, and there's all these Republican constraints on passing laws, so everybody can block everybody, and that leads to gridlock. What our original system contemplates is the most important social and economic issues are to be handled at the state level.
Exactly.
And that way there can be 50 state solutions, and if you don't like what your state's doing, you can move one state over. You don't have to leave the country of your birth in order to enjoy the economic and social policies that you prefer to live under.
But this federal government, they love the idea of this growth, the fact that, their perception is that they're the government of everything. They can do a better job with this one-size-fits-all. But, you know, every time we're running into this problem, whether it's gridlock or, it's just not working.
Right, and that's the reason why it's important to limit the federal government to the few things that it's supposed to do, that it has to do, that have to be done at a national level, like national defense, and also creating a free trade within the United States, which is a very important thing, reason why the Constitution was enacted, to create an American free trade zone here inside the United States. And once it's done that, all the most important social and economic policies really are supposed to be done at the state level. I was a state court prosecutor. I was a Cook County State's Attorney in Chicago to prosecute the most serious crime there is, murders and also rapes and armed robberies. And in other words, the founders left even serious crimes like murder to the states. All the state laws of murder are different. We have different county prosecutors prosecuting them in state courts. The most important issues really are to be handled by the states, and that way you can have 50 different solutions to problems.
Exactly.
And a different package of solutions, and we don't have to fight each other to the death over the national solution.
And here we are, once again, we're fighting, case in point, about this bathroom bill. And it's a one-size-fits-all.
That's a perfect illustration of exactly the sort of thing that the national government should not be getting into. It's the sort of thing that really ought to be handled by property owners, that really ought to be handled by businesses and schools, how they want to administer their own bathrooms. Now, there is a civil rights component of the national government. The 14th Amendment does empower the national government and the courts to protect the civil rights of individuals. That's for sure, and that's important. That's something that the Republican Party added to the Constitution in the wake of the Civil War. Mm-hmm. But unless you're talking about a violation of a fundamental liberty, that's a thing that needs to be handled at the local level, subject to the outer boundaries or guide rails provided by the 14th Amendment.
Randy, we saw this creeping in, and up to about a month ago, there was some conversation on it, not like what we've got right now, where the states are being, North Carolina is being threatened to be defunded for some education, a loss of something like, $4.5 billion and, this kind of stuff. And, how does that sit with the Constitution? Because, my understanding is that, the government cannot use, the purse in that direction and threaten the state to withhold money. Am I misunderstanding something here?
You're right. And I actually talk about this in the book, Our Republican Constitution. I talk about how Congress does have wide discretion to raise money by taxes and spend it, but it really ought to be. The courts have not held this, but it really ought to be unconstitutional as violating the general welfare clause of the taxing power, which says taxes have to be raised to serve the general welfare. It ought to be unconstitutional to threaten a state by withholding the taxpayers' money the state's own taxpayers' money from them. In other words, to say, you, North Carolina, we're going to take your tax money from your taxpayers, and we're going to send it to 49 other states if you don't do what we want. If they were to do that, that would mean that law would no longer be in the general welfare. It'd be 49 states and not one. And that's unconstitutional.
But well, Randy, we're
not held that unconstitutional.
We're all out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. He's the author of the book, Our Republican Constitution, Securing the Liberty and Sovereignty of We the People. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Randy Barnett on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Randy.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hello, mercy, I have been searching for you lately.
Bill Martinez.
Can you hold me together? Can you love reach down this far? Can you hold me together? Cause without you holding my heart, I'm falling.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like it, America. It's all about you. Hey, look at for a change, huh? Isn't that refreshing? Could it be all about you? Could it be all about we the people, just like the U.S. Constitution says, a government of, for, and by we the people, instead of the elites? But hey, look at it's up to us. You know, we've got to take this government back because look what they've done to our country. Look what they're doing to our country. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Jeffrey Lord is with us, CNN contributor, contributing editor to the American Spectator, former aide to Jack Kemp and Ronald Reagan. Jeff, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good morning there, Bill. I'm just fine.
Hey, wonderful. Hey, help us out here, boy. We got all kinds of moving parts and wackiness. You know, Trump is the... it's a NASCAR race. It really is.
On this planet can keep up with.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, it gives us something to talk about. But here we've got Trump now, the presumptive nominee, meeting with, you know, one Paul Ryan and that group there. And you got all this ego that's going around. And Ryan's thinking that he's got all the chips. And I'm thinking, you know, have you not seen all the votes going to Donald Trump? I don't think it's a matter necessarily of him. It's got to be, a mutual thing to come together and, set the ego. You know, check the ego in at the door and let's figure out what's best for the country and what's best for the party. Because if you guys mishandle this, you know, Reince Priebus is going, you know, maybe I'm going to go to Wall Street, go be a consultant for a while.
First of all, I thought this kind of meeting was inevitable. This is, in fact, the kind of thing that a winning presidential nominee does with his troops on Capitol Hill.
Yes.
It's a little bit more unusual because of Donald Trump in this situation, but still in all, this is what happens. Now, that said, I must say I'm a little irritated here. I mean, with Speaker Ryan, whom I like, we both worked for Jack Kemp at different stages of Jack's career today, and I have a column up now posted at American Spectator, titled Jack Kemp's Lesson for Paul Ryan. Jack Kemp, of course, ran for president in 1988, and he was viewed by many conservatives as the standard bearer for the Reagan Revolution and the Reagan agenda. And alas, he was running against then Vice President George H.W. Bush, who, precisely because he was vice president, even though he was not a conservative, you know, in a lot of voters' mind, carried the President Reagan's banner into the fight. So Jack Kemp lost, and he, as he was campaigning, he said flatly, outright, that if Bush were elected, that would be the end of the Reagan agenda, and that's what he was fighting for. Well, so he loses to Bush. 19 days after he withdrew from the race, he endorsed Bush and appeared at his side in Wisconsin to campaign with him. He just swallowed hard and went and did it. That's what Paul Ryan needs to do here and needs to get on with it.
Well, but, and it's not like he's doing having
to get there.
Yeah, and it's not like he's having to do this blindly, Jeff. I mean, look at the polling, look at the following, the numbers, the kind of people that he's bringing into the party, which the party's been saying for a long time, you know, we need to broaden the tent pegs. We need to broaden the tent, get more people in here. But it's getting through that transition. And if they're going to win the White House, they need to do this fast. I see the clock moving here, Jeff, and I'm concerned that they're going to miss out on some critical time here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what concerns me as well. But I do think that they are getting this done. I was listening to Donald Trump this morning, who was very pleased with the meeting. One of the things that I have been saying repeatedly in the course of this campaign, when we would get to discussions of Donald Trump and leadership and that sort of thing, temperament, all of this, this is a guy who built the name of his business is the Trump Organization, built it from scratch. You cannot possibly build the kind of company he has built, this globe-straddling company with all of these buildings and resorts and golf courses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're mammoth projects individually, let alone collectively,
exactly.
Without having the temperament, without having the ability to lead, listen to people, have a vision, get things accomplished. Those are precisely the skills you need to be president of the United States. And so I'm not at all surprised that he's getting high marks for his visit to Washington yesterday, and I'm sure he will continue to do so. It's just that my problem here is that other people, it's not just the nominee who has the unifying job ahead of him, but anybody who is a party leader, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, for example, and I think Reince Priebus is doing a great job in that score, the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Leader, I mean, they all have a hand in this. So
exactly.
I think some of them need to get on the stick.
Well, this is what leadership's all about. I mean, who called the meeting?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, think
exactly.
about it. Who called the meeting? It wasn't them. It was Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, hey, we got to do this. So that, it, again, to your point, it demonstrates leadership. This is how he's able to do this, not just in New York, but around the world he's been able to accomplish and develop this empire. So that says a lot about this man. And it is amazing to me, Jeffrey Lord, that even to this day, people want to underestimate the influence, the intelligence, the strength of this individual. I mean, they still want to look at him based on that. What the Washington Post headline that had him caricaturized as a clown, you know?
Yeah, you know, and frankly, politically speaking, that's an asset for Donald Trump. Ronald Reagan had this same interesting phenomenon going on, that he was perpetually underestimated, and that always played to his advantage.
Right.
Because he was never the caricature that they made of him as a simpleton extremist actor. I remember he'd been elected at this point as president of the United States. He visits Washington, and Speaker Tip O'Neill proceeds to tell him that he's in the big leagues now. Well, hello, the man had been elected in two landslides as governor of California. He'd won, just won an election in a landslide as president of the United States. Right. And here is Tip O'Neill presuming to tell him he's in the big leagues now. You know, Reagan quickly showed what's what when he took office and proceeded to defeat Tip O'Neill like a drum
exactly.
on the floor of the House when getting his legislation passed. So the sort of condescension of Washington politicians never ceases to amaze.
Well, fortunately for Tip O'Neill, he didn't say that to Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
He'd have been eviscerated right on the spot.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Hillary's issues. The FBI, even Comey again reiterated review. We don't do review. It's the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the team of people that are working on this nonstop. They're now starting to get into the inner circle of one Hillary Clinton. The pressure is on her. If it's not for Bernie on one side, it's the FBI on the other.
Yeah, she really, you know, so much attention has been given to Donald Trump and what's going on the Republican side that, in fact, we're losing sight of there are real problems here on the Democratic side. There is this investigation and her handling of this, that language that you just cited is exactly the personification of why so many people think she's dishonest. She's using this term, a security inquiry, which doesn't exist, right? And she's doing it to try and lead people into believing it's something that it isn't. It is a full-fledged FBI investigation, as the director himself was quick to point out.
Right.
The other problem she has is Bernie Sanders. And I noticed the other day that former Governor Rendell of here in Pennsylvania, who's a former, he's a Clinton supporter and a former head of the Democratic National Committee. The Democratic Convention is, of course, going to be here in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, in July. And he was asked about protests from Bernie Sanders supporters. And he said, well, if they come, they need to behave themselves, quote unquote. Well, I understand why he's saying this, because there are people out there who are Sanders supporters who are trying to organize marches and in the style of Million Man Marches
exactly.
on Philadelphia to protest the Democratic National Committee.
Well, and Jeff, we're out of time. Jeffrey Lord has been with us, CNN contributor, contributing editor to the American Spectator. Go to his website.
A good stove is at the top of the list for any serious survivalist. That's why you have to see the full range at Emberlit.com. Simple, elegant, but extraordinarily efficient. Available in titanium or stainless steel, the Emberlit line of stoves are ultralight, pack flat, and work great. Fueled only by sticks and debris, from emergency situations to long-term survival, Emberlit stoves are up to the task. Emberlit, the most convenient, easy-to-carry wood stoves on the planet. See them all at Emberlit.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Booyah!
Just another Spanish love song.
Don't be afraid. You will not be hurt if you comply. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Sadly, it is too much about compliance, isn't it? What happened to, you know, our freedom of speech and all the other freedoms that our founding fathers have given to us? I mean, we've been reckless. We've taken them for granted. And now we find ourselves waking up and going, what 21st century America did I find myself into? Beam me up, Scotty. Get me out of here. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here with you. And this news breaking right now that Freddie Gray's arresting officer Edward Nero has been found not guilty on all counts by Baltimore City Circuit Court Judge Barry Williams. Nero faced second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and two counts of misconduct in office. Baltimore, of course, is bracing for potential riots because of the verdict. And here with us right now is Michael Dougherty. Michael, are we going to have more of the same there in Baltimore? I mean, which was really kind of the epicenter for this Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, a lot of unrest, and the police are saying, hey, you know, we could have another big problem on our hands here.
Well, I hope we don't. I mean, what we've seen here, being the child of Detroit police officers and being a child during the Detroit riots, I have to say, my observation of this whole thing of the last couple of years has been the attempt of some real far left people to strike a match and keep the fires burning. And I would say that I bet 98% of the African American community has not protested to the streets, and it's not the 60s. As much as they want to draw eyeballs and roadkill and drive ratings for trauma, when they had the mistrial a few months ago, there wasn't that much disturbance. And Elijah Cummings, who is by far not my favorite person, actually put in a proactive "everybody stay calm" yesterday. I mean, I'm hoping that the community in Baltimore is not going to has finally understood that cutting your nose off to spite your face and destroying your own neighborhood and hurting your own friends is not a way to protest what was not there in the first place. And we just have to, the only people that are left now are the attention getters and the conspiracy theorists, and hopefully that's a small group, and we're not going to see Jesse Jackson or other friends honing around there looking for more lead opportunity.
Well, maybe Soros has run out of budget in paying off these professional protesters, and he's been pretty much exposed after the last time of not, wanting to send them a check. And then you had hashtag send me the check, which really exposed them all the more. And like you say, I think probably more importantly and significantly is local community. I mean, this is their community, you know, regardless of an irresponsible mayor that wants to say, well, just go ahead and, you know, let them burn it down. They somehow have earned the right to do that. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, I mean, the people within the Baltimore government should really, I mean, they should be held accountable for some of the lousy, posturing, political, and quite frankly, professionally irresponsible. I mean, you know, when you're poor and you live in a ghetto and you've got nothing but bad news for 15 years, I'm not excusing bad behavior, but you can understand where you're not, where you feel like you're not heard. And then when your role models tell you, go and do it, that is a terrible thing. And, you know, Baltimore leadership, I mean, you only have to look at Detroit to see where that got you. And I don't think Baltimore wants to be, in 2040, wants to be what Detroit's been the last 30 years. It just gets you absolutely nowhere. It's not the path.
Well, Michael, you think that the Democratic Party itself, because, you know, I mean, this is the problem that you have in these communities like this. They're run by Democrats. And you think they'd come alongside and say, guys, we got to get a better narrative here. This does not bode well. This makes the party look bad. But, of course, you know, they're getting cover. The media is not, you know, exposing that. We talk about it. Others talk about it. Conservative people will bring that up. But, you know, not the mainstream media. They're not about to expose the incompetency of a single-party run, you know, city or state, for that matter.
Because it indicts them as not being the media they're supposed to be, not being objective, not being outside the situation, not putting in their bias consciously, you know, going for the news and that eyeballs story in investigative journalism, not roadkill for job security. I mean, there's something really wrong with the media when they're capitalizing off this. Same thing with Ferguson. You know, it's slow to turn, but look at how maybe this culture is going to have to learn the hard way with 8 years of Obama to see what didn't happen. They should all take a course in comparative reality to early promises. Look what just happened to Eric Holder and the Justice Department getting smacked in the face last week with the judge making every lawyer in the Justice Department that wants to participate in this immigration thing have to take an ethics class. That is a terrible state of what's going on right now. But the people that are educated, law school, understanding the separation of powers, the procedures in the law, throwing it under the bus for political purposes, this is what happens, and as usual, the people on the bottom get hurt more than anybody else every time.
Yeah, but America needs to wake up here, Michael. I mean, like you say, the judge has seen it, and we've been, you know, crying out for a voice of reason that would step forward and call it for what it is. And God bless this judge, you know, seeing it and saying, okay, hey, you guys need to really, you know, you need to do some soul searching here. So we're going to assign an ethics class for you. Maybe that might help you, you know, find true north.
It's tough. I mean, this shows how you are really on the judge lottery, and in essence, we won it. But you look at those officers and you think, what did they win? You know, the police officers are, they give so much. They're paid so little. They put up with so much danger every day. I mean, life on the line danger. And this is what they have to put up with. And this does not make police work a magnet for good people. And it's very dangerous. So we really have to understand and pay attention. Before you start throwing stones at any conspiracy theories or these police officers, you really need to gather the facts and look at what happens when people that do that without homework, and look who gets destroyed. You know, innocent people.
Exactly.
And all these people in Baltimore, which is a tragedy.
Without a doubt. Well, Michael, I appreciate your perspective. We're going to have Lance LaRusso, an attorney and author of the book When Cops Kill, and he's going to expand on this, and he'll be with us later on in the week. Michael Dougherty, senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine, a board member at Snoopwall, the global leader in affordable breach prevention, author of The Devil Inside the Beltway. And, Michael, I want to talk to you and get your read on this whole fake book deal, as they're referring to it, and we're talking about Zuckerman's Facebook censoring conservative individuals, and he wanted to meet with some conservatives and try and make nice here. Were they able to patty cake anything?
Well, I mean, this is called circle and confuse PR spin after getting your hand in the cookie jar. I mean, I didn't hear him say we didn't do it. I didn't see him have a press conference where there was no restrictions. Here we have a private meeting, and he picks the conservatives and invites people. And And I think some had to go, because the way the left works, if someone had not have gone, they would have said, see, we tried, because they shift it into a PR game. And so I'm not going to really begrudge people that went, but let's call it what it is, which is just kicking the can down the road and not addressing the real issues, which is, algorithms really shouldn't have human involvement. Why do they? I mean, you're a tech company that's worth billions. You're right. A news source for a generation, crosses country lines, the whole world. You're controlling this. I mean, it is dangerous when we don't understand the difference between free speech and punishing you for what you say. I mean, and as much self-righteousness that comes out, this is classic left self-righteous behavior. Same thing goes on with religious freedom and everything else. It's like, you know, I'm not telling you what religion to be. I'm telling you that we need to have religious freedom. Those are two different things. And, you know, hopefully, I don't think it's going to be enough to hurt Facebook in the long run. Everyone's addicted to it if they don't really change. But if they don't change, I mean, the IT world is littered with very arrogant companies that went bust very quickly, starting with Wang and Intuit and all that. So, I'd be careful. You don't want to lose your trust of the public.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could open the door to a conservative element, don't you think? And and one that probably, you know, the only thing I was hoping, you know, was going, oh, my goodness, is Lois Lerner going to pop out of this one? This jack-in-the-box here, you know, with Zuckerberg, I mean, you know, because this is like the same thing, you know, this plausible deniability, and here you got all these conservatives being targeted, and they go, well, no, that really didn't happen, and, you know, and it's like, wait a minute, you guys talk algorithms, you talk calculus and all these other numbers, but when you talk about, you know, coming after certain groups of people inordinately, and the numbers dictate that, well, then, you know, that didn't happen, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, this is out of the same IRS playbook here.
It is, because there's no true platform. They're controlling the narrative. They're controlling who's at the table, and they're acting like they're not. They are. Game over. Now, I'm not going to fault those that went, but that is what's going on here. And, you know, and then they exploit. I mean, it's a multifaceted game. They exploit our short attention span. We are very focused on the presidential election. There's a lot of things going on. So it's a playbook that people have learned the past 10 years. Very Clinton-esque about just wait it out. People forget. Spin it. Confuse it. You don't, you know, when you're accused, all you have to do is bring up doubt. You don't have to, you know, have to prove anything.
That's right.
You know, this is the hard part. But, you know, unfortunately, I think we might be in some long social experiment here to have to teach a couple generations about why we aren't drinking the Kool-Aid here on that everything's free and everything will be okay and everyone owes you. I mean, but the hypocrisy and the irony of this free speech, but I'm restricting this. And you can say what you want, but don't make me uncomfortable. And I have to have a safe zone. I'm not sure what we're raising here, but I can tell you the future isn't bright if it continues, because it's just not reality.
Well, exactly, and that's the problem that we have right now, this information age. We're being so bombarded with information. If you don't have a filter, you know, that's got a truth meter on it, you're going to be wide open to all kinds of innuendo and suggestion. And Mark Zuckerberg, as far as I'm concerned, has lost an incredible amount of credibility, and it's going to be his hard work in crisis management to turn it around, if at all he's really interested in. Michael Dougherty, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Michael.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.